Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
For the returning visitors, just at this time, we just share a poem and some scripture with it, just so you know what's going on. But have you ever looked at your life and wondered what the purpose was, wondered what the meaning was, wondered if you had value? The best way to find out that is go to the Bible, go to the beginning when God created man, and find out what God has to say. In Genesis 2, it talks about how, in Genesis 1 and 2, it deals with creation, how God created the heaven and the earth, basically created the universe, everything there was, all the animals, all the life, and then day 6, he created man. And chapter 2 gets a little more information on God's creation of man, and it says, the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth yet, and there was not a man to till the ground. And then verse 6 says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And as the story goes on, in the Garden of Eden, Eve listened to the devil and mankind sinned, man fell. So God's original creation was marred. But God is the heavenly potter. God is the one that can take a life that's marred and remake it. In John chapter 9, we have a story of a man that was blind from birth. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And it's kind of interesting when you look at it, you go, well, why did Jesus heal the man this way? You look at all his miracles, and even when he's dealing with the same affliction, he does different methods for each one. But when I read the one in John 9, it's interesting because all the way through the Bible and in the Psalms and Job and in some other places, it talks about how we are earthen vessels. We're made out of clay. We're something that God has made. And Jesus was showing this man and the world, especially the Pharisees and those that were around him, who he was, that he was the potter, that he was the creator. And Jeremiah says this, which is kind of interesting. Jeremiah 18, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And the same thing could be true of the whole world, everyone in this world. God is the potter. He made each of us, but sin has marred our lives, and that's why we need a Savior. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. And first, as you read the rest of John chapter 9, I'm not going to get into it, just general comments, but Jesus, he healed the man, and at first the man didn't know who he was. But as the story went on, Jesus revealed him, and first the potter healed the blind man physically, but then he healed the man spiritually. He healed the man's physical blindness, then he healed his spiritual blindness. When the man who was born blind, when he realized who it was that healed him, he placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The potter, the creator who made every one of us, has the power to remake us for his glory. Jesus has the power to take every blind man and give him sight, to take every hell-bound sinner and open their eyes to understand the truth of the gospel. He can take every marred vessel and use it for his glory. He can take a vessel of dishonor and make it into a vessel of honor through faith in him and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. Then the Lord is glorified by the lives of the earthen vessels that were once marred, but now are miraculously recreated. He is magnified by the testimonies of those he has healed, and he is worshipped by those whose lives he touches and transforms. Are you an earthen vessel that the Lord has touched and changed? If not, you can be. The potter who created you also has the power to recreate you. He can change your sinful, sin-filled vessel of wrath and turn it into a vessel of mercy that will honor and glorify him. Will you turn to him and let him remake you according to his perfect plan? And if you turn from your sin and you receive the Savior, the heavenly potter, the Lord Jesus Christ, then he can transform you into a vessel of honor and use you for his glory. Though you're only an earthen vessel, a weak vessel made of clay, you can be sanctified, set apart for his glory, and useful, for his use, and prepared unto every good work as the power of God works in your life and through you. And there's one more verse that I've always been fascinated by in the context of God being a potter, Psalm 68:13. I used to work at the Gospel Mission in Kelowna, counseling people that were dealing with addictions and some troubles in their life. And it says, Psalm 68:13, though you have lying among the pots, though you're lying, you're a broken piece of shatter, you're just lying there, you shall be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. God can take a broken piece of pottery, turn it around, and make it a treasure. And that's what he wants to do with your life. And I want to read you a poem, not written by me, but on that idea, the touch of the Master's hand. It was written by Myra Brooks Welch in 1921. I didn't realize it was that old a song. Well, 101 years now. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000? Who will make it two? $2,000? Who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Amen.